Kara.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Good morning, top of the morning to all our listeners. Another lovely day the Lord has made. We rejoice in it and we're glad. Oh Father, we bless your name. You know our individual name. You know the challenges that we're going through. You know the beginning and the end, and you also know the solution and the strategy. Father, we thank you because there's nothing hidden from you. Thank you because we believe whatever we commit to your hand, you are more than able to accomplish it, to finish it, to complete it, to see us through. And so for this, we just thank you for the privilege that is today. Thank you for your word that is changing us. Thank you for the season gone by where we remember, we reflect on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and what that really means to us. It was really pivotal in terms of what we had been coming down, looking at the name and the authority and power in the name of Jesus and how significant that ties in with the death, burial, and resurrection. Father, we just thank you for the insight. Thank you for how you brought us through. Thank you for all our listeners that have tuned in today. To you alone be all the glory and all the praise. We acknowledge you. The Bible says in all our ways, acknowledge you. You will surely direct our paths. And so, Lord, we acknowledge you here. We acknowledge the presence of your Spirit. And we ask that your Spirit will guide us into all truth. And at the end of it, Lord, let your name alone be glorified. We just thank you for the privilege of been here in another session today. We commit everything unto you. Take total and absolute control. Let your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, good morning, people. So we've been long haul, definitely. The name, power, and authority in the name of Jesus. And we had our case study in the book of Acts chapter 3, where we see that the disciples were able to take delivery, you know, of the promise of God when Jesus had asked them to wait, tarry in Jerusalem till they be endued with power, till they receive this power. And so we have the cases in the whole of Acts, which is just a demonstration of the apostles not just having an understanding or revelation, you know, but being able to really step out in faith and to be able to carry on the mission which Jesus had called them into, you know, and be able to deploy, you know, the power of the Holy Ghost in carrying out the miracles and signs that followed them. So it should be the same for us, but we just want to make sure we're touching all the bases. And so this session today, we want to just like kind of introducing the contact with the spirits. Where do we start? Where can we get information? And I think the pivotal place, even though we've looked at some of the examples with the disciples, is to look at the scriptures in terms of Jesus, who was their primary example. And the scripture helps us particularly in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. And I read, it says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, okay, with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's verse 38. And we are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, right? And it goes on to say, whom they crucified. Well, they use the word whom they slew, all right, and hung on a tree, you know. So it's very important, you know, and how God raised him on the third day and showed him openly, wasn't hidden. So the very key verses there, couple of important things there, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. So God anointed Jesus, okay, and we're looking at Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I had to be specific so that we know that the authority, the power we're talking about is tied to this specific individual, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you know, he was anointed with Holy Ghost and with power, right? Then he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So he had that anointing, he had that grace upon him, he had the presence of the Spirit on him, and he was able to do good. Now this is very important, how he went about doing good. Now it's so important with that word good there, because oftentimes when we begin to journey, you know, I'm trying to look at it, maybe you're trying to explain this to a new convert. So have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you identified with his death, burial and resurrection? What exactly does that mean? Have you been baptized? How many baptisms are there? What is actually happening by that significant identification with the death, burial and resurrection? And we move on from that. These are fundamental teachings, you know, within the Christian tenet, and it's something that each believer needs to understand. So just like the disciples had to wait till they received power, Jesus had his own, you know, documented. We have it in Matthew chapter 3 when we talk about the Spirit descending on him, the Father being present, you know, and having his own baptism. So we're going to look at that initial, you know, case study there, and then we see that is where the Spirit descended upon him. And then looking into what we're looking here in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, where he says he went about doing good. Now it's so important. There's what the Lord expects you to do with the power that you receive, with the anointing that you receive. And it's good that we understand what exactly we receive, what to do with it, what can be done with it, and how we can go about doing good. So without a shadow of doubt, we're going to find that a lot of this, what you can do, depends on the revelation you have first of who you are, your identity, especially your identity in Christ, and your identity knowing whose you are as a child of God, okay? And then knowing what your inheritance is, which we have dealt in detail with some of these things, but it's so important and foundational that we remember these fundamental teachings. You know, they're so, so important. So he says how Jesus Christ went about doing good. You start at a point, you start doing good, you start doing the best you understand about the will of God, okay? And then we will progress. And so I think one of the things we mentioned in our last session was the fact that when we consider the works of the flesh, and we consider the fact we have an arch enemy, and that he loves to work, you know, in the, you know, limitations or the arena of the flesh, okay, the limitations of the flesh, but in the arena of the flesh. So one of the things you will begin to understand as we're going through this journey is that there, you know, and the Bible calls them the fruits of the Spirit. So if you come in contact with the Spirit, you've received the Spirit, there are fruits that you must be able to cultivate, and the Bible hopes that you will, you know, bear fruit that will abide, okay? And so in the same vein, there are spiritual fruits that can be cultivated. There's also fruits of the flesh, okay, which are the things that the enemy wants to use. So in our subsequent series, we'll be looking at the demarcation, so that the Bible talks about by their fruits you will know them. So you can tell, are you angry? Are you always suffering from low self-esteem? Are you always fearful? You know, and I will be able to like do some, you know, comparison between the two, so that we know what kind of fruits we ought to, you know, be bearing, and what type of fruit is not acceptable for a child of God. Now, the challenge is with revelation, with insight, you will begin to do that good will of God as you have understood it. We're looking at that in some detail, why the word is critical, why wisdom is the principal thing, and why we need understanding of these things. So then we understand our fallen nature, we understand the flesh, we understand the attributes we may have had. You know, some people say, well, this is how I am. Some people say, well, this is how I was raised. But as you begin to get insight and revelation from the Word of God, then you begin to understand what's expected of you as a believer. And that's so important. And so as you grow in your consciousness and understanding of the revelation of that, you know, which God has given to you as an inheritance, and you grow in understanding what the old nature was, the difference with what's expected of you now, the mission that you have to carry out, the grace, the anointing, and the, you know, tools that have been made available to you, that with your understanding not only of the fact that you have them, that you have authority, you have power, you know, that you can deploy these, you know, gifts of God, even to use for your work, for the furtherance of the kingdom. And so that demarcation is clear. But oftentimes what you find, a lot of people stay in the old nature, have the old attributes, they're really bad habits, there's no plan whatsoever to change. Now you can't keep doing the same old thing and expect a different outcome. So that understanding of the fruits of the, you know, flesh, as if I might call them that, the indicators of the flesh at work, yeah, okay, and the fruits of the spirit, has to be very clear. And what you need to do to, as it were, uproot that which is not the planting of God, that which is not a godly gift to you, and how to abide, how to imbibe, how to attract, how to stand in, you know, the new attributes, the new fruits, and make sure that you can bear fruits with all that you have been given, and fruits that abide. And I pray the Lord will help us to understand these things in Jesus' name. So there is the arena of the flesh, okay? We know the flesh has its lustful desires. We call it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three categories literally covers everything that will be considered as a fruit or a manifestation of the flesh. And so sometimes I remember, I mean, once in a while, just commenting on things that people are doing, and say, listen, all that they're displaying, there's nothing spirit in that, you know. But we need to be able to understand the clear distinction, okay, what is spiritual, okay, and is a fruit of the spirit, and what is not. And so, you know, once you now begin to catch that revelation, catch that understanding, and you're walking in the will of God, that you understand the good will of God, then you are engaging, okay, you are aligning, you come into alignment, and then you're yielding, okay, yielding yourself, yielding your members, yielding your vessels, yielding your whole body as a sacrifice, all right, to come in line with what God is expecting of you, come in line with the, you know, influence of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and making sure that you can cultivate those spiritual fruits in you, through you, for you to carry out your assignment. So the important thing now, I'm just emphasizing here, there is a process from doing good, and we move on progressively through that process, through our yielding to the leading of the Spirit, through our being led by the Spirit, through the dealings that God will deal with the old man, the old nature, okay, and move on to perfection. And there'll be scriptures we'll be looking at that talk about moving on to perfection. So there's a well-defined process, which I really just wanted to highlight and make that our initial point of reference. We'll take a break now, and then we'll come on and let's carry on looking at, you know, the some of the dynamics in walking in power, okay, that we need to understand. So we're looking at the dynamics of walking in power, dynamics of using the anointing, dynamics of growing and maturing in the things of the Spirit. The Lord give us understanding concerning these things in Jesus' name. Catch you on the other side of the break.
To the Lamb, and all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands. All thrones and dominions.
Good morning. If you're joining us, you're welcome. We just had a break and you're tuning to Radio Africana. This is Morning Dew. Right, so we're looking at some of the dynamics when it comes to walking in power, you know, becoming into alignment and what that really means. And we've just gone back to our case study. Well, we did start with a case study with the disciples in Acts chapter 3. And we looked at some also examples also in Acts chapter 4. But we want to go back to, you know, Jesus himself. You know, he's the primary example. Remember, he called the disciples to follow him. And we're still following Jesus. We're still being led by the Spirit. And so the very things that he promised the disciples, we too are beneficiaries by covenant. And we too can access the inheritance. We too have access to delegated authority and power and the anointing and the grace, you know, that he spoke about extensively to the disciples. And we could see that they worked clearly in that anointing. So we just looked at our key script text for today, Acts chapter 10 verse 38, and it says how God anointed, you know, Jesus, and we said specifically Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and with power. And we find this described in Acts chapter 10 verse 38. And one of the things you notice here was enabling him to go about doing good. And that's something I just wanted to emphasize with, well, before the break, that there is a coming to do good. We are called to do good works. We are called to do, you know, what it is we understand based on scripture. And basically what we are growing in is our understanding of that which has been revealed to us by the scripture, having our own personal encounter, and these things that were written coming our own personal revelation. You can hear people's testimony, you can hear about the great things the apostles did, you can hear about the great things that Jesus did, but till it becomes a personal revelation to yourself, then you do not have the capacity to walk in that understanding. And so that's important. So we see here how God anointed Jesus Christ with Holy Ghost and with power, you know, and he went about doing good. So we too expected to do good. He went about healing those that were oppressed of the devil. I also mentioned before the break that there is the work of the enemy, the work of the flesh. He walks in that arena, and we are supposed to be able to manifest the fruits, okay, of the Spirit. And how do we go about that? So when you look at some of the things you've grown up in, you've known, or you just by default find yourself in, and people will say, well, this is how I grew up, this is all I know. No, you can't keep doing the same old thing, have the same old stature. You need to know who you are in Christ now, what has been promised to you, what you have access to, what it is you're supposed to manifest, the kind of lifestyle you're supposed to live, what this anointing will enable you to do. So by looking into the life of Jesus Christ, we see him was enabling him to go about doing good. Okay, and there's so many testimonies and so many cases which you can look in our subsequent lessons about the good that he did, you know, healing the blind, causing the lame to work, healing those that were oppressed by the devil, casting out devils from them. And you know, him talking about the fact that these same signs shall follow them that believe, and he fulfilled his earthly ministry. So without a shadow of doubt, he is our primary example, and this anointing symbolizes, okay, divine consecration. Please note that word. It symbolizes divine consecration. That is a separation unto God for good works, for doing God's perfect will, and equipping occurred through the presence, all right, and empowerment of God the Father. So there's a mouthful in what I've said here, but I want us to understand some key words. So the Holy Spirit and the anointing he received enabled him. We're able to do, by the grace of God, okay, things which on our own, that's the grace of God, where the divinely enabled to do things which we normally would not have been able to do, but by the presence, okay, of the Spirit upon us. And we see that clearly in the life of Jesus. So it went about doing good, it went about healing even those that are oppressed, he confronted the demonic entities and dealt with the, you know, fruits that were not, that were manifested, okay. And of course they had to be at the entrance of the word to bring light, to bring understanding, so that they can be totally transformed, and there's no difference for each one of us. So we see clearly in his ministry that was doing good, there was healing, there was the oppression and him casting out demons, and he fulfilled his earthly ministry according to you know, design. Right, so this anointing, again, like I said, symbolizes consecration and equipping, okay, that occurred through the presence and empowerment of God. All right, so he yielded himself for consecration. He yielded himself to separate himself from what would have been his default nature, okay, how he could have been raised by his parents and the things he would have learned. He really spent a lot of time in the presence of the Father to learn this thing, to learn how to understand this anointing that's upon his life. We will take some time to also look at the different anointings that he had and what the differences are, but as time will permit us. So the key aspects of how God anointed Jesus that we want to be aware of, it was empowerment with the Holy Spirit. All right, so that empowerment is there, and the anointing was not with physical oil but with the Holy Spirit. So again, we begin to see that there's an anointing with physical oil, and then it's the anointing of the Spirit. And is there, what's the difference? We'll look at this in more detail. And this occurred prominently at his baptism, which is documented in Matthew chapter 3 verses 13 to 17. So, you know, Christ went for his baptism, and there was the presence of the Spirit that descended. There was the voice of the Father, and he was being baptized. And so we who identify with his death, burial, and resurrection, we openly declare that we believe in Christ. And so we too go through a public demonstration of our faith, a public demonstration of acknowledgement of him, what he did, and the significance of it. So each believer, having believed the word of God and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, is expected to go through a baptism. It's an outward sign of an inward reality, which is a public demonstration of your commitment and your consecration to the Lord. So very important. All right, and so we see the example in the life of Jesus. Now, he was equipped with power. This spiritual empowerment, which we're talking about, manifested as miraculous power to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and to preach the gospel. So this power was not hidden. It became manifested, it became evident, even for people around to see, and they became beneficiaries of what was happening. And we can see it also in the life of the disciples, that because they had come in contact with that power, he had asked them to wait, to tarry in Jerusalem, so that they too could be endued with the same power. So we are all carrying on this mission, but as an individual, each one of us needs to understand that there is this divine empowerment, there is the equipping with power, okay, and it's there to manifest, you know, in situation and circumstances as we, you know, stand to become those that can, you know, become vessels the Lord can use and deploy that grace, that power and anointing for this work. Now, you also have the divine approval, which is signified by the presence. So the anointing was God's seal of approval, proving that God was with him. So that's why we say how God anointed him with Holy Ghost and with power. So there was the presence, you know, to seal this whole transaction, equipping him for his role as the Messiah and Savior. And so not only did he come to, you know, save and deliver us, he's our Savior, he's our deliverer, but he came to show us the way. He came to show us the way to live this spiritual life, okay, and have this relationship, okay, and be a situation where we're constantly being led by the Spirit, we're under the tutelage of the Spirit, and we can also, you know, be partakers of the divine empowerment, the equipping with power, and then, you know, be rest assured that the Lord will grant us that proof of his presence, that seal of authority over each and every one of our lives. And finally, we want to look at the anointing, which there's a purpose for the anointing. And so the purpose was to enable Jesus to undo the works of the devil. And so that same purpose will be expected for each one of us that believe, that will be anointed and empowered to undo the works of the devil and to show that he was ordained Savior. And he was actually empowered, he was actually, you know, operating in that power, and he had the presence as proof of that anointing. So essentially, the anointing refers to the Holy Spirit and power. that God had invested in Jesus for his earthly ministry. I'll take that again. Essentially, the anointing refers to the Holy Spirit, okay, and the power that God invested in Jesus for his earthly ministry. So like I said, he went about doing good. We can document and we'll find so many examples as we go on of how he did good, of how he healed people, of how he cast out demons, how he used his authority, how he deployed the weapons, okay, that were given to him. The Bible talks about the fact that we put on the whole armor of God, all right, so that when we're coming into warfare, we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. So there's inheritance, there are weapons that we have. We must learn how they work, what are the kind of ideal situation and atmosphere, you know, that will make them, you know, function maximally. I remember something I was listening to during the week, and you know, the Bible talks about when a demon is cast out, he goes into dry places, okay, but the Bible also says that he comes back to his house to see if it is. So the teacher was asking, what is it about your house, why the enemy comes back, you know, what is it about that atmosphere? And the funny thing is, when you look at Christ, you, some of the things he did, you didn't hear that he was doing a lot of much praying or fasting when he had to confront the works of the devil, okay? So he had, you know, an understanding of the dynamics of what was given to him. He had an understanding of his consecration. He had an understanding of his need for devotion. He's had his own prayer time, okay, and his proximity to the Lord. Now, all of these are things we need to look at, because they all make a lot of sense when we're trying to understand the process of yielding ourselves to do the good unto the perfect will of God. But knowing that we have been granted this grace, we have this anointing. The Bible talked about you have an anointing, you know, from the Holy One. Okay, so what is that anointing? What's the purpose? So these are things we want to explore. I just thought we'll just start off with a little introduction, you know, today on, you know, the purpose of the anointing, looking at the life of Jesus, looking at how he started doing good, you know, walked in revelation, walked in a deeper dimension of his relationship with the Father, and the same is expected of us. And I pray that the Lord will help us through this session to understand these deep things in Jesus' name. We'll take another break now, and we'll come back and look at how we can round up today's session, looking at some of the dynamics of power, dynamics of, you know, growing and maturing to a spiritual consciousness of who we are in Christ, of how to walk in that authority and power that has been given to us, and the unction to function which each believer has access to. Catch you on the flip side of the break.
Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Welcome back. You're joining us. We just had a little break there. Yeah, we're looking at, you know, pressing on in our series on the power and authority in the name of Jesus. And we're trying to look at some dynamics. And we've been trying to identify that there is a need for a process. Or there is indeed a process, okay, from our old nature. And there's where God is transforming and taking us to. And through that process, we have to learn to yield to the leading of the Spirit, yield to the tutelage, okay, as it teaches that His Holy Spirit will be guiding us. And we need to understand, in as we're looking at this personal foundation, or what I call fundamentals for growing and maturing, to understand the process, the dynamics, you know, certain things are fundamental. The Bible says, without the word was nothing made that was made. So whatever God is going to do in your life, okay, from his, wherever you are, when you come into the Lord, when you come into the family, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, whatever the Lord is going to do with you, please hear me and hear me very well. Without the word was nothing made that was made. He will utilize his word. The word is God's, you know, change agents. The word is God's tool that he uses. So even the revelation I'm talking about, that you need to come to a personal, you know, understanding of the revelation, of the insight that the scriptures will be, you know, projecting in your direction, is the word. It all comes from the word. The Bible even talks about, when we talk about prophecy, you know, that all scripture is, you know, spirit led, okay, spirit breath is there for correction, but that's actually there for correction, for reproof, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished into all things. Fine. Also, every prophetic spirit, every prophetic utterance, the Bible says, has to be tested, tried against the word of prophecy, okay? So the baseline, even for testing prophecy, testing the truth, testing a revelation, testing, is the word of God. All right, we'll go into that in more detail, but I just wanted to really establish that personal foundation. And so when people sometimes look at, this is the way I look at it, they look at the process, they like the anointing, they like the people manifesting, they like the power, they like the authority on display, and they want that end result. You need to understand that there is a process, there's a building, there's foundations, there's step by step, there's a building of your spiritual house to achieve and arrive at the outcome you so desire. But any process void of that, then you're opening yourself to the consequences of the one that comes in through the window. All right, Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He is the living word. So the Lord will just help us as we move on in our study, you know, as to the dynamics, how really this happens. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So there's a lot of learning that we have to, you know, be devoted to, studying the scriptures, being led, being tutored by the Spirit, okay, that we, through patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So the reason why we have a lot of emphasis on, you know, the scripture, that is his change agent. That is what everything is going to be tested on at the end of the day. That's the litmus test, that's the acid test. Okay, and so we want to understand that right from the beginning. When we're trying to understand this process, when we're going through this process, let us recognize the position, okay, as foundational of the word. Without the word was nothing made that was made. And so there's nothing the Lord is going to make out of your life, your destiny, your ministry without the word. And so that becomes a test. And so oftentimes a lot of people don't get this foundation in place, and then they're open to all types of things. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, how we have our spiritual senses, you know, exercised by reason of use to be able to discern. Now, discernment is not a mental capacity, it's not a mental ability. Discernment is coming from your engaging with the scriptures. And so by virtue of the input of the scripture, by virtue of you sinking your roots deep into the word of God as a personal foundation, okay, you are able to build up your capacity through reason of uses of your spiritual senses. So like I said, we have what we have been given as an inheritance. We have tools. Okay, you need to know what these are. You need to know how to guide them. You need to know how to keep them. You need to know how to keep yourself separated, your consecration. So these are a lot of stuff that we'll have to, you know, really have some understanding of, that we can fully walk in the authority and power that has been delegated and given to every believer. Okay, so these things were written for our learning. Right, so let's look at Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall. May the Lord help us to build our spiritual lives as houses that will not fall, that will not be moved by every wind of doctrine, that will not be moved by every storm of life, because it has its foundation on the rock. Christ is that rock. Christ is that cornerstone. It says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Finally, verse 27, Matthew chapter 7, we're reading 24 to 27. It says, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with great crash. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So we need to understand what are the foundations for our growing and maturing, okay, in that which has been committed to our hands, what it takes to, you know, keep and guard your consecration. Okay, what exactly is that? Okay, and then keep your vessels. What exactly is that? Then what kind of fruits are you bearing? What is the difference between the fruits that are manifest in the flesh and the fruits of the spirit? Okay, and how do you make sure that you can cultivate those things which the word is revealing to you, so that you can have fruits that abide? Now you are able also, because of your understanding, not only to take delivery and to deploy this authority and power, but you can teach others, you can impart others, you can anoint others also. And so that's where we're hoping to journey down in the subsequent, you know, sessions as we go on. But remember, the Bible wants you to bear fruits that abide, so that even after you have left, there's a legacy that you leave. There are people that will remember you because of the impacts your life made upon them, through your teaching, through your lifestyle, through your conduct. What will people remember you for? How will they remember you as a Christian? It's not just, you know, being what's it called, eloquent. You know, Bible says our preaching was not with enticing words of men, but in the demonstration of power and authority. And I pray that will be your testimony also in Jesus' name. You know, and so we'll go on, you know, in as time will permit, and look at, you know, importance of wisdom, you know, in all of this. And the Bible talks about the fact that wisdom is the principal thing. So in all that you do, make sure that you are, you know, establishing wisdom. Finally, I just want to look at Colossians chapter 2 verses 6 to 10 as our last scripture. Therefore, as you received Jesus Christ, Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught. So how you are taught is important. Abounding in thanksgiving. Know the importance of being grateful and abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy, by doctrines of men, by false teachings, by empty deceits, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So you need to understand that clear demarcation, that the elemental spirits that are not of God, there is a spirit of God that will cause the fruits of the spirit to be made manifest in your life. So we need to understand this. It says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. So Christ was the fullness of the deity, and we and you have been filled with him, who is the head of all rule and authority. You know, really deep scriptures there, just to establish that this personal foundation is critical. This foundation must be built on the word of God. Without the word was nothing made that was made. And so as we're coming to this relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing where we start, how we take delivery, how we get anointed, what our inheritance is, what has been made available to us, how to deploy all that has been given to us, that grace to do exceedingly abundantly, far beyond. There's a grace. It's not you. It's him at work in you and through you. And I pray the Lord grant us understanding in Jesus' name. Okay, so those were the main points I wanted to just communicate today for our session. I hope that's been useful. Our key text was Acts chapter 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus. So we'll look more into some of Jesus' anointing. For those of you taking notes, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27, you know, we'll look at that in more detail. But we're trying to look at the different anointings, the different baptisms. What do they mean? How do you contact this power? How do you sustain it? How do you walk in it? How do you keep your relationship with the Holy Spirit, that you may bear fruits that abide? And the Lord give us understanding concerning these things in Jesus' name. Christ being the cornerstone, Christ being our primary example. Remember, Christ came, he died, okay, was buried, and he resurrected. And the Lord made an open show of the victory over the enemy, and there was nothing hidden about his resurrection. It was clear, it was witnessed by many. And I want to believe that God in you, walking through you, by the grace of God upon your life, the anointing upon your life, will cause you to have power and authority to walk in wisdom, to have understanding of these deep things we are talking about, and be a tool in the hand of God to be a blessing to you, not just your loved ones, your family, but your community, wherever you find yourself in society, in the marketplace, wherever. I pray that the Lord use you as a vessel that can be a channel for his blessing, a vessel that can be a channel for power, a vessel that can be a channel, you know, to distribute life to those that need it, to be able to release the love of God, the anointing, the different attributes of the Spirit will find expression in you and through you. And even as you grow in your consciousness of who He's called you to be, I pray you will grow in your consciousness of exactly what your calling and specific assignment is, and he will grace you with the attributes to become a full manifested sample. Okay, your life will be a demonstration of the anointing of God upon your life. So whether that's be healing, whether that's in, you know, casting out demons, whether that's in outreach, whatever it is that God has graced you with, may your life be a living testimony. May your life be living proof. May God do in you more than you can imagine and ask for, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that, you know, he causes, you know, the multifaceted dimensions of his wisdom to be made manifest by the church. You are the church. May God find expression in you and through you to your world. Lovely people, till we meet again on the same channel. It's been a lovely time with you today. I hope you've had a wonderful time. God bless you and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Bye for now.
To build it here inside, and there
Applied. Glory.